Greetings, friends. I got a couple of things to tell you up front before we get started today. Number one, today's going to be a little bit different, not your traditional sermon. I did try to do a sermon and an interview with a good friend of mine together, and I got emotionally derailed in the beginning, as you'll see a little bit here in a second. And so as a result, it was actually hard to get back into the conversation. So there's going to be a couple edit spots. So I just want to give you guys that heads up that it might not be as smooth as intended. Number two, make sure that you stick around at the end because we will be doing communion with one another. And also at the end, a dear friend of mine, Chris Seals, wrote a song, a worship song, and performed it for us. For our community to share with us. It's called Banner of Love. And I look forward to you guys learning that at the end as well. So love you. Today's going to be a little bit longer than normal, and it's going to be a little bit emotional. Love you dearly. Blessings. Hello, church community. It's nice to be with you as much as that is possible. That joke's going to get old. Every Sunday you hear it, huh? About us being on a screen. But get used to it, because we've got a few more months of this. So I'm excited to be with you guys today. We're going to do things a little bit different than maybe how we have been doing it the last few Sundays. And a lot of that is I just want to invite you guys into what's going on in my heart as of late, and how I'm trying to wrestle with pursuing this third way in the midst of a pretty divided and chaotic time. So actually, if we could just start like we like to, let's just focus ourselves in, and we really want to be present. I'm going to ask today, of all days, I'm going to ask today that you would suspend judgment during today's conversation, that you would remain present, and that you would remain curious. And in remaining curious, then we're open-minded in hearing maybe from other people or other perspectives. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking around and I'm thinking our world can use a lot more of that right now. So let's just ground ourselves and focus. So wherever you're sitting at home right now, if you'd get your feet just firmly on the floor so you can feel that you're supported. Really feel what it's like to be in your body right now. Some of you just woke up and you got that first cup of coffee, and the only thing you're feeling is the buzz of the caffeine, but just really feeling present in your body. And the best thing, as you guys know by now, the best thing for us to really get present is to follow the breath. And so before we do that, I'd like to remind all of you, sorry for the redundancy in this as well, but remind you that the word for breath in Hebrew is ruach, and it's the same word that we use for the Holy Spirit. And so we want to follow our breath. We want to place our attention on our breath so that we can just get grounded into the present moment. And the goal of this is not so that we can get into some sort of meditative state or like this, but the goal is to be fully present. Because I know my mind, I don't know about you guys, but my mind has a bunch of things it has to do. So to be fully present allows us to be conduits of the Holy Spirit and be used by God. So if you would with me, let's just follow our breath. So place your attention maybe right here, right where the air comes in. If you can just place your attention on your breath all the way down to that place that it turns and comes back out. Holy Spirit of God, Ruach, I'm reminded as I participate in this gift of breathing that you've given us, I'm reminded of the very first breath that you gave, that you breathed life into humanity. It tells us in Scripture that if anybody is in God, they're a new creation. He will breathe new life into us. He will give us new hearts. So God, we pause and we come before you, placing our attention on this gift of breath that you've given us. Father, for all the binary thinking out there, for all this either-or thinking out there, I do believe with the breath that you've given us, we have one of two options, to use it for the good or to use it for the bad. To use the energy that comes from the breath to serve you and your kingdom and all of those made in your image, or I can use my breath to serve my own purpose and my own kingdom that I'm building. Father, today I pray that you would break down those kingdoms that we've built for ourselves and that we would allow the freedom, the love, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness of your breath, of your shalom, of your kingdom to inspire us to think outside of our silly little ways, to think outside of our loyalties, to think outside of our own egos. Holy Spirit, guide our conversation today. Spirit of God, we give you permission for when we get angry today, when we get upset, when we are irritated, when we are triggered, we give you permission to bring that stuff up to us, to show us how we can grow. I thank you that you judge us with love, that you are always, always thinking of us. You're always asking us to grow, to step into a deeper relationship with you, with each other. May we accept that invitation today, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, in true Wayne fashion, I'm going to keep it real. And we're going to get a little raw. And I'm already feeling it. Last time I spoke to you guys, you knew I was in a funk because my dad had passed away. And to say that I'm out of that funk would be a lie. So I'm still in my funk a little bit. So I'm a little bit raw. Normally, at least I like to believe normally, I'm a little bit more polished and I have my emotions a little bit more in check. But something has stirred my heart. Something has awoken me from my sadness and my darkness. And unfortunately, it's the sadness and darkness that's going on in our in our country and our culture right now. And I got to tell you a story about my dad that maybe some of you don't know. But I shared last time about a wrestling match that my dad and I had about this idea of the divine inviting us into unity with him. And I don't get that, and I still don't pretend to get that, and it still is a mystery that I want to pursue. But something else about my dad, another seed that he laid. That I really wish he was here right now that you guys could hear from his heart and his own experiences. My father was LAPD during the Watts riots in the 1960s. And my dad participated in acts of violence. Against men and women of color. And it caused him to leave the LA Police Department and give up that life. He became a pacifist and chose to work as a full-time professional Christian. And so the foundation for Christianity, the way that it was introduced to me from my father, the heroes, the pillars, were Jesus and MLK Jr. And I wish my dad was here so that you guys could be blessed with the wisdom that he learned during those hot times. But instead, you're going to have to settle for the way that I have interpreted his wisdom. And I've asked a friend to come today, because I don't necessarily know the perspective. I've not lived out the perspective that a lot of our brothers and sisters of color are living out in our country right now and in our church. So as we continue to look at the third way, this idea that we don't have to choose left or right, we don't have to choose Democrat or Republican, we don't have to choose our first ID, our identities being in some sort of loyalty to a group. But as we'll see, the third way really calls us and inspires us to be creative and recognize that our first identity and allegiance is to a king and a kingdom. The reason this is important to me right now is as I listen to a lot of the hurt, and there's a lot of hurt right now. Man, this last week and a half, I've had conversations with family members, with friends, with church family, with old colleagues. And it seems like the running thread is we're just don't know how to talk to each other, and we don't know how to listen, and we don't know how to hear each other's perspective. And it just feels like we need to listen, and we need a lesson in the art of listening. And as I think about all the experiences people have with this fantastic country of ours, I'm also hearing that maybe my experience with this country is different than your experience or this person's experience. And if we don't have the grace and patience and love just to hear somebody else's experience, we're never going to get past a lot of our differences. But what came to get me as I thought about our sermon today, our lesson about the third way, and specifically looking at the kingdom of God, I had to come to the realization that in the same way that maybe some of the citizens of this great country are not experiencing or having the same experience with it the way some of us are, my assumption is that some of our brothers and sisters who we say are a part of the kingdom of God with us are having a different experience. And if we don't hear from them, we're never going to know what love looks like in action. We're just going to keep sitting and talking about it. And so I'd like to introduce a dear friend of mine named Micah. And Micah is he's an idiot, first of all. He's a dear friend of mine. I used to work with Micah. We were in the trenches together in Christian education, trying to help these young kids just know that there's another story out there. And I knew Micah. I saw his heart immediately, and I know that he uses the same lens to see the world that I do. And so I knew instantly that Micah was a brother, and that there was a lot of love. And we have a lot of history together. As all of you know, Guatemala is very dear to my heart, and I've been able to experience that with Micah as well. So we've traveled together, been in the trenches together, lived through some junk, some hard stuff together. And I thought, what better person to offer perspective on the third way than my brother Micah. So today is a little less of a sermon teaching and more of a time to listen and for Micah and I to have a conversation. So let me introduce you to Micah. So Micah, situationally, when we're talking about third way and actions, and again, right now, there's a lot of us that are tuning in and listening, like we're either actively in dialogues where it's an us and them dialogue, and we're trying to speak above that or to that without like getting put into camps and all this kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've already talked about how this is kind of a we don't want to like we're not trying to cause problems, but like just straight up, here's what I want to ask you.
Okay.
In your experience as an African American man, and again, if you didn't catch that, we taught together. We're so professional Christians, yeah. You know, getting paid to teach the word, this kind of thing. So in essence, kind of working in the kingdom, it gets a little murky, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know how you have experienced maybe not the third way, but you've experienced some of the us and them, the either or, within the Christian context.
Wow.
And this isn't, I've already said this to Micah, this isn't about a Dateline expose, like let's pull off the scabs and just say, okay, here's where all these people were bad or evil. Like I don't think these are necessarily intended things, but what we need to do is we are giving opportunities to ourselves to learn how to listen better. And so we just really need to hear what are some ways that you've not experienced the third way. Micah, maybe that's...
Man. Oh, man.
Ooh, sorry.
So you want me to take off some Band-Aids? And
yeah, I don't even know why I started with the mustard seed question. That really was just filler. Let's just jump right in, bro.
Well, I could tell you kind of some of my darkest days from like, the church or the kingdom people. Like you said, it gets a little murky. But in my darkest days, I think the third way was never extended to me. And I never understood it. You know what I mean? And all that did was cause more pain, you know, throwing salt on the wound. And I'm not trying to talk bad about anything, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, exposing my wounds and things that I've experienced. And I think the model that Jesus has always taught, whether it's within believers or just people that didn't think like you or look like you, it's the third way. And so my darkest times in life, man, I didn't experience that. And that sucked, you know. And so I could kind of think back and kind of navigate through my past and think of some times, but even presently. So like, we all know what's going on, right? Presently.
No, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, our world is great and we are thriving and I think everyone is on one accord and, you know.
Father, may they be one, as I am in you and you're in me, may they be in us, what the world may believe.
Man, so, you know, we're kind of in some uncharted territories where it's us and them and, you know, I'm not sure. Well, I am sure. That's not what Christ wanted, right? So to experience that and to see that, it's just, you know, it kind of hurts my heart. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, I've experienced some insensitive conversations. You know what I mean?
Would you be willing to, I didn't ask you this ahead of time, sorry.
No,
would you be willing to share
some
of those details and all with that? And here's the reason. Not because inquiring minds want to know,
right?
But I may have unintentionally been involved in some situations like that with somebody else,
right?
And someone else listening might have accidentally been involved in that. And
sure,
we really are a community.
Sure.
We know that the third way, that there's an invitation, but as we talk about a lot, like what that looks like in practicality is really hard. And
yeah.
So if you wouldn't mind sharing some of the details, it might be an opportunity for us to learn.
Yeah. So I think. For me, drop the word of God. with in lieu with some of the things that's been going on, it hurt me and I was angry at the same time. And those are the two things. I don't really take the social media and advocate and do all those things. But when I began getting inquiries, I just said, you know, I'm angry and I'm sad. Those are two things, right? And so within some of the conversations with people that I work with at this Christian institution, things were stated without things being asked when I was hurting. So I think one of the first things for me is, you know, before you tell me your position on it, just ask me, hey, what's going on? How can I understand, you know, why you're hurting?
So I'm gonna stop you there and we're gonna put on our educator hats for a second, because we have to assume that there is some ignorance. That people don't even know what that looks like. So what kind of, maybe if you could even speak hypothetically, if you don't want to get into those details, but what does that scenario look like? And how does someone, because I almost feel like, I don't want to beg the question, but I almost feel like we're getting into this idea, which is really important to me right now, like seek first to understand, then be understood. That's kind of what I hear you saying is like,
yeah,
people are wanting to tell you their position before they're even wanting, like hearing where you're at.
I could give I could give you,
because I'm sure we, some of us watching right now, have been one of the participants in a conversation like that.
Right. The example is something that we've all may have been a part of. It's all over social media. It's all, you probably heard it, you may have said it, you may have been a part of it, I've heard it said to me, and I've heard it not just with the epidemic that's happening now, but in times past, because the whole Black Lives Matters movement had started back in 2014. And so the comment that all lives matter, you know, just that in itself is insensitive.
Can you you saying that and me saying that mm-hmm. is going to be different, right?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And so I don't even care that we're recording now. How does that affect you, Micah? You can't speak for everybody.
Yeah,
how does that
yeah.
affect Micah when someone says,
it makes
oh, but all lives matter.
It makes him think that you don't get it or you don't care.
Well, and how do you come to those conclusions from that phrase?
Because I think when you're immediately trying to defend another position without even understanding mine, it's because you don't get mine or you don't care to get it. You know, I'm not talking about all lives, but we can talk about it. We can, because I would agree with you.
Right.
I don't have a disagreement that all lives matter.
That's just not what we're talking about.
That's just not what I'm talking about. Right. So when I make a statement of something that matters to me and it's because I'm in pain, and then you talk about your position. So if I'm really, let's not even talk about pain. If I'm really excited about coffee, right?
Yeah.
And you're my boy, like we kicked it. You're my boy. You know, you really are. Because
right.
you know stuff about me that not a lot of people
right.
know.
Right.
So I'm like, man, I just got back from Guatemala. We've been to Guatemala together. And there's this bomb coffee, some of the best in the world, right? And I'm excited, right? Because I haven't seen you in a month or whatever. And I'm telling you about my trip, telling you about this experience. And the first thing you say is, whoa, let me tell you about my trip from Africa. It's like, okay, that's cool. You know, I want to hear about it, but dang, you just shot me down. Like, I wanted to tell you something that was important to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so now when I bring in the issue of pain, I'm talking about something that hurts me, and you immediately want to talk about another position. It's like, man, okay, that just crumbles everything that I'm trying to communicate to you.
Yeah.
So
I know how I feel when that happens. It's actually a conversation I got in recently with somebody. What's that like, Micah? What message? There you go. Sorry, you didn't know we were going to go like this.
Like,
what message do you receive? Mm. What message is deposited in your heart, in your soul, in your mind? When, and specifically, man, when you're talking about your pain. You didn't use this word, Micah, so I'm going to use this word, but dismiss. Mm-hmm. And if that's not the term, again,
that's accurate.
But
that's accurate.
I mean, if I'm going to Africa on you when you're telling me about Guatemala, I'm dismissing what you have to say. And so,
yeah.
What I'd like to know is what message do you actually walk away with?
Yeah, I think if we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, a message that I leave with is like disappointment. You know what I mean? Because I believe we have the answer. It's like, we got it. But when we don't apply it, it's just like, that's kind of hurtful, disappointing. You know what I mean? So when I look at it from that perspective, that's where I get even a little bit more saddened. Like, man, yeah, that's like, sure, you're not just, you know, anyone. You're supposed to have my back above all. Like, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the answer. We're supposed to be exemplifying this thing. So. Just disappointed, you know. I would be lying to you if I didn't say at some point in time it's come to be expected, and but it still sucks, you know. Even though
can we stop for a second?
Yeah,
like that. I mean,
yeah, I'd be lying.
Let's just sit there for a second.
Yeah,
it's come to be expected.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Micah.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate.
True.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And you've never been like that, you know, as a friend, as a homie, as a brother in Christ. You've never been like that. So that actually counteracts some of the disappointment, because it's like, man, okay, there's still this thing of hope, like, you know, we could do this, you know. So it could be refreshing. It's disappointing at times, but then having conversations like this, you know what I'm saying? It kind of revitalizes you. And
yeah.
Just thank you for listening. You know what I mean?
Again, how do we have conversations if we're not listening?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've really lost. I almost have to call it an art form at this point.
Yeah, the art of
which is really sad.
Yeah,
because it's such an integral part of our daily lives, right?
Yeah.
But the ability to listen, the ability to hear one another's hearts.
Yeah.
The ability to assume the best about you and that you have good intentions as opposed to jumping to conclusions, right? We have those meeting norms all the time, right? Like, assume best intentions, and we're pretty idealistic as Christians. And so when it doesn't go that way, it hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It hurts me to know that you're on the receiving end of that, and the amount of pain that I have there, like, it blows my mind that the pain that I'm experiencing is only by witnessing what happens. Like, I don't even know what it's like to feel that pain. Like, when you said that I've come to expect it, like, yeah, even your demeanor changed. There was kind of this, like, hardening of, like,
yeah,
just, I've just learned to be Teflon. I've just learned to put my guard up. I've just learned.
Yeah.
And again, that's where I want to, like, speak to and just say sorry that you had to learn that coping strategy within the kingdom.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for sharing that. Tell me about opportunities, because I can think of some situations we've had even on this campus, even around this kind of race talk, right? And we're not going to get too much into that, but, like, opportunities, Micah, that you've had to express love in the face of ignorance.
Yeah.
Because I've witnessed it.
Yeah.
So opportunities you've had that you've seized about the third way. Again, this is not to elevate you or your status, but this is about, we say it a lot, like, this caught, not taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we hear examples of what love looks like in action, this is why those people that are living it, you know, talking and living it are heroes to us.
Yeah.
And so we need these examples to inspire us, you know, so.
Yeah, well, first of all, there's no halo over my head. And
oh no, we'll do another episode if you want, bro.
The second thing is, it's not that easy, you know, but I will say it works, you know, in the idea of being faced with, like, ignorance and things that have come up insensitive and hurtful to me, of people that I would even call friends and brothers or sisters in Christ. And I think some examples of how I've exemplified that third way is reminding them, like, you know, and I don't want to give real raw examples, not that I'm afraid to, but I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. That's not my goal. But even in the wake of everything, I've had some things that were said that were pretty insensitive. And so what I had to do to deal with it is just not get angry, number one, and realize.
Which we've been having some good side talks about,
yeah,
right? About, like, how do we really step into that?
Yeah.
Because anger is for real.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And it's good. Anger is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. But, you know, you got to be careful.
I've done some bad things with my anger.
Two hands and a foot.
Right?
Two hands and a foot. I'm guilty. So, you know, try not to get angry. And in my best possible way, try to, I don't want to use this word, but educate, you know, because I don't want to think I know more than, but just not educate, but give a different perspective. Okay, I won't use the word educate, but give a different perspective.
That word got me in trouble this week too.
Okay.
Yeah, because
I don't want to be taught. Exactly. And I know some of my vernacular can be offensive. I'm not trying to, but give you another perspective,
right,
to,
right,
real pain.
Right.
Not some concocted, joining some social media movement, like, real pain. Like, I'm hurt,
mm-hmm,
and I'm saddened by what I see,
mm-hmm,
and what I continue to see and what I saw in the past. Like, it bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts me. And I want it to hurt you, not to where, you know, you're in fear or anything, but I want it to hurt you to the point of, like, you don't like it and you want to do something about it.
Right.
So,
Bob Marley says that he who knows the pain, like, he who feels the pain knows,
right,
it.
You're right.
Right? Like, if we could, like, I know pain. I might not know the story around your pain.
Yeah.
I might not know it firsthand, but I know pain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I don't need to invalidate anybody's story. If you, yeah, know pain, you know pain.
Yeah.
And it is an equalizer.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It's a language that's universal.
Yeah.
Just like the third way is.
Huh. So let me, thank you. Yeah, let me ask you this. So how do you know when somebody, when you're talking with somebody, that they're ready to be educated, to carry some of your pain with you? How do you know that?
by what they say, what comes out of their mouth initially, like I said, when you are making your position and your statement, then you don't want to listen. You know what I mean? And that's okay. I just think you're not ready to listen. I'll sit back and listen to you or whatever we have to do, you know, but everyone wants to be heard, you know, but no one wants to listen. No one wants to hear. And so I think how I recognize is that what's happening right now. This is a ding, 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 ding. Okay, someone wants to hear my perspective, wants to try to understand a little bit. And not only does it make me feel good, but it encourages me to do the same when you're in pain. Whatever the pain is,
right.
Whatever that pain is, I want to try to understand if I can empathize or sympathize. But the only way I can is if I listen.
That's good.
Yeah. So
I can remember, Micah, in one of our home church experiences, Dr. Caterson was our pastor at the time, and he talked about, and we talked about this on the phone the other day, about the fruits, or not the fruits of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we often want to categorize the gifts of the Spirit as like teaching and prophecy,
right,
and healing and this and that. But what he said, and Micah, what I hear you saying is that really the gift of the Spirit is to notice people and to just listen.
Right.
And Jesus exemplified that by being fully present for people who needed it. And in noticing them and listening to them, the Spirit is then able to know, oh, this person needs a touch. This person needs a healing. This person needs a word. This person needs a rebuke.
Right.
This person just needs to know their love. This person just
needs an ear.
Right. And so, to me, that really is the third way, because I'm listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I'm not listening to my ego.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to that part of my heart that makes me choose me over you.
So.
Right? So, hey, let me ask just a couple pointed questions.
Okay.
And I'm guessing, because this isn't a podcast, this is a sermon, we probably got to end this quickly.
I would imagine whoever is behind the camera, I have 3 minutes.
Just for practical speaking. And actually, I mean, you'd say this. I'd like to do this again if that's cool, potentially, somehow.
Ventura, though.
In Ventura, though.
Yeah.
Not Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah, Ventura.
So, Micah, there are some phrases you use the when people say, but all lives matter.
Yeah.
So I'm receiving that as you saying, when you hear that phrase, it's not necessarily a non-negotiable, but it's kind of like you're telling me, like, the conversation is already here, like, you don't want to listen. And they're kind of like, to my question, like, they're not ready. They're not ready to have that talk. Like when they say things like, but all lives matter. Like, it just.
There's levels to it.
Sure.
Okay, I'll give you an example.
Okay, let's do it.
I had a conversation with a former student here on, you know, I usually don't take to social media.
I know you.
I don't do that, you know, but something hit me differently about one of the last black men that I saw getting murdered on video camera. You know, just saying that it kind of pisses me off, but
yeah, like it changed. I mean, feel like it shift in the room.
No, I have a list of things that I could recall over the past 7-8 years. You know, I may not know every one of their names, but I could recall. You know, that's another story. But one of the last situations of someone being killed, George Floyd. I put it on social media, and I said, you know, I'm very sad, and I'm angry, and I never do that.
Yeah.
I never do that. I never do that. You can ask my wife. I never do that. I had to vent. You know what I mean? I had to get it out. I don't know why I went to social media. So, anyways,
because you can.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a big advocate for that, but right. You know.
Yeah.
And one of the former students kind of replied, and there's levels to insensitivity, right? This wasn't necessarily blatant, but all lives matter. But the comment that he rebutted was kind of like, you know, shame on those men, but also shame on those looters, and shame on those, you know, people that are starting fires, and shame on, you know, pointing injustices. And there's no argument on whether all those things are wrong,
right?
You know, that's not. Right. I didn't even want to engage in that, you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to put a hierarchy on wrong and crime, okay? I'm not trying to do that. However, what I'm saying is that what hurt me and what made me sadden was that little girl will never see her father again, You know what I mean? As bad as those looters were in breaking those store windows, which I totally disagree with, those can be repaired. You know what I mean? And I'm not hierarchying,
but it's,
you know, but what I'm saying is, like, we're talking about a human life,
right?
Right? That we seem to not have any regard for. That's what it seemed like to me, and that hurt me.
Yeah.
And so.
And you were speaking to your pain.
Right.
And your sadness
to that moment. Right. And so I had a conversation where I tried to give a different perspective, not educate, because it was a young mind. You know what I mean? You know him if I tell you his name, but.
I've already got three names.
Probably do.
Probably is.
He's probably
when we press stop, I'll ask you.
Okay. So, yeah. I just tried to give a different perspective. Like in the wake of 911, if I, you know, someone would have put something up there and just expressing their pain of all that. And I said, yeah, that sucked, but it also sucked how we, you know, treated, you know, Muslims. That's true, we did, but, you know, there's something that's going on with
you
right now.
There's a time and place for that.
There is definitely a time and place.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do anything to mitigate your pain. I don't want to do anything, even if it's talking about another pain, even if it's talking about my pain. If you're talking about your pain and I start to talk about my pain, there's a time.
Now we're having a pain war?
We're having a pain war.
My head. So I'm going to ask you point blank. So when people of my skin color are presented with the opportunity to hear somebody's pain, what's the simple advice you have? If in light of like choosing the third way, because some of us might want to respond.
Yeah.
And there's a whole reason, like our identity might be wrapped up
sure.
in politics or something like that. But like, so this is really a third way opportunity
yeah.
to practice what Jesus does, which is just notice people.
Yeah.
Hear where they're at so that the kingdom can grow.
Right.
Like mustard and, you know, yeast. And so point blank, what's your advice?
If it's real pain. Real pain, my advice would be to listen and ask questions. Hold your position off unless you experience that position or you are very educated with that position. I would say listen and just ask questions. You know, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And yeah, that's it. Not a magic form.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So stay curious, suspend judgment.
Yeah.
And cloud. Micah, there's another one that really irks me. And so this is my own bias, but I'm curious how you receive this one. I've heard in multiple conversations that I've had, and I've also heard it in many of the narratives out there. There's very loud, dominant narratives.
Yeah.
Just turn on your TV. People of my skin color saying that they don't see color. So I can tell you how that makes me feel, but I'd like to hear, is this as much of a hot button issue for anything? And I think it's just an ignorant statement.
I was going to say that. It's not so much a hot button for me, but it's more of like, ding, 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 ding. Okay.
Your skin is darker than mine. My skin is lighter than yours. Our skin is pretty.
Right.
Our skin is beautiful. You have
right.
very beautiful skin.
You
color.
Can see.
Your skin, skin tone. Like it's really strange. I'm just curious if that's one that ever.
It's not a trigger. It's not a hot button. But it is a signal.
What do you hear? How's that? Like when you hear someone of lighter skin tone say, I don't see color.
I'm ignorant to the social injustices that happen around me. Or can I be honest?
That's what I want.
I'm privileged. That's what I hear.
Yeah. Can you expand that for me? Because that's what I think.
Yeah. That you're not aware, but you're not aware because you never had to experience it. Like, you don't see it because it hasn't hit your home.
Are you able to do that?
Am I able to what?
Just not see color? Like, is that something that you're, like, just...
No, that's
ridiculous. Hence the privilege, right?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. Like, there's yeah, that's ridiculous. So.
What's another one? Maybe if there is another one. Some of these quick things that you're hearing, especially from brothers and sisters in Christ, where you're just like, oh, I expected more from you. Like, oh, I wish that you of all people could say, you know, that you guys would talk this way. But what are the ones that you hear? Because we might be using them and not knowing, you know?
Okay, so some of the things that I've been hearing is...
It's a smirk.
Some of the things I've been hearing is, like, geez, we can't say anything about anything, you know, like it's, I don't, you know, I don't, I can't say anything without offending someone. Well, then maybe you should be careful. Maybe you should be careful, because either I'm too, you know, which could be, and the reason why I say be careful, not because you're wrong. I'm saying be careful because I could be too sensitive. Otherwise, or I could be in some major pain. So I say be careful, not because I don't want you to say anything. I want you to be careful because you don't know which one it is. Until you find out, is Micah being too sensitive because he's seeing black men get killed and he should not be taking the, am I being too sensitive? Or is there real pain there? So I say, you know, be careful. You know, I've heard people say, geez, you know, you can't even give your opinion on black, like, you know, I can't say anything about black lives, or, you know, and I'm kind of like, well, what exactly do you want to say? You know,
yeah, you want to contribute to the, do you want to, the restorative conversation,
right?
Or do you want to, like, what?
Exactly.
Because it comes down to motive again.
Because in any movement, I think there's going to be extremists. And so we could talk about that, even in, you know, we could talk about that, but if you hear the heart of the pain, you'll kind of block out all the extremists that's going on, the people that are trying to take advantage of whatever it is, you know what I mean? There's always going to be people like that, but at the heart of the matter, there's real pain.
Yeah.
Promise you that.
Right.
There's
and it's,
real pain.
And it's old.
It's old.
It's generational pain.
Oh, yeah. It's
and
woven into
what
the
we
DNA.
Know about, like modern health and wellness and stuff, like, we're just now discovering how, like, trauma is stored inside of the body.
Yeah.
And it's a phenomenal book, if anybody's interested in that, called the Body Score, but this idea of trauma trapped. And that happens generationally.
Yeah.
And to ignore, when we ignore trauma in our own bodies personally, like, stress has to happen and strokes and heart attacks to get us to listen to it.
Yeah.
And at the social level, right? What has to happen is not for us to listen.
Yeah, what has to happen.
So this might be a good ending point. I feel like we just scratched the surface, but I think what I want to acknowledge is, right now, we are living in a time where everybody is experiencing some form of pain. So we're actually presented with an opportunity right now to empathize more than anything with everybody. We have different stories, different set of circumstances by which we came to obtain the pain or experience the pain, but we all know pain. Also, what I know to be true right now is that we seem to be in an existential crisis, because within this pain, all of us are mourning the loss of our old routines, the loss of the old way of doing things. Maybe it's the loss of jobs, the loss of a friend, a family member, love, like all the, we're all mourning and loss. And so collectively as a society, we have people who are in identity crisis. We have people who are experiencing trauma like they've never experienced before. And what we know in the brain is that means that most of us are working out of our amygdala. Most of us are in this fight or flight response, which comes at the most part, comes at the expense of being able to have these healthy dialogues, being able to have healthy conversations. It comes at the expense of being logical. And so my charge to all of us, this third way, really is learning how to accept the peace of God, accept the peace of the Holy Spirit, accept that shalom, and to move in that peace, so that we're not constantly in reaction mode. Because I can say stupid things like, but all lives matter, if my amygdala is firing, because I'm in fight or flight, and we're all trapped in our houses. Like, this is weird times.
Very uncharted territory.
And so in these hard times, trying to have these conversations that are not being modeled for us. The model out there is, you either agree with me or you're the enemy.
Yeah.
That is the model out there. And it's the opportunity that we have as followers of Christ. This is where I'm going to do my little idealistic charge right now for all of you. As followers of Christ, we have opportunities to usher in the third way conversations with people. And so I would encourage all of you to think before you speak, to write down what you're going to say before you say it to someone. Throw that piece of paper away and then write it down again. But think about, like, what's the spirit in what you're saying. Think about this idea of Jesus noticing people, and then the spirit can get out and act. This idea of just listening and listening to other people's positions. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to agree with their conclusions,
right?
But just listening to people's pain is the beginning. And so my encouragement to all of you this week is that you would find moments of shalom, that you would intentionally carve out space just to be quiet, to feel the presence of God, and that you would take that presence and that peace with you into your situations, and that you would be intentionally choosing the third way. pay attention to the things that make you angry. Are you getting angry because your identity is wrapped up in this side or this side? Or are you finding yourselves wanting to defend, again, this side or this side or this side or this side? Or are you coming from a place of the kingdom? Do you have your kingdom lens on, and is your anger maybe more at the ignorance? Is your anger maybe more at the inability that we have to listen to one another? And I would encourage all of you to be inspired by the creative power of the Holy Spirit to breathe life into those situations where death is happening, where you're having this us and them talk. I would challenge you, and I'll even say this, ready? I'll leave it this. You can email me, you can call me, you can text me. If you need specific inspiration on a situation, on what it looks like for the third way to invade your situation, you call me. That doesn't mean I have the answer, but I will talk with you. If you're willing to look at the third way, this is how we have to do it for one another. We need to have conversations with one another. We need to be encouraging each other to have those tough conversations where we're speaking love in truth to one another, right?
Yeah, I had to do that with our student.
Yeah, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily know how to do it. We talk about this a lot as Christians. We're given the opportunity right now to live this stuff out. And so, Micah, thank you for joining us for a little bit of this. I hope that this was somehow beneficial to you, the viewer at home, that it inspires you to have just healthy dialogue, whether it's maybe the person sitting on the couch next to you, maybe it's a family member, it's a colleague at work, it's a brother and sister in Christ. But we encourage you to listen to the pain and know that the love of Christ has a response and an answer, and it's not up to you to have that answer, it's up to you to just listen. That sound all right?
Sounded awesome.
So, may you go in shalom and peace, and may you be inspired by the options of the third way. Peace.
Greetings. I would imagine, like me, you might be feeling the need to go to the communion table. I'm going to imagine as well that the Holy Spirit has been working and stirring something up inside of your mind, or your heart, or your soul. And now's a great time to hold those things up in light of the communion table. So I'm going to read a portion of the text to us from John chapter 6, starting at verse 53. And then we will have a time of prayer and then an opportunity to participate in communion with one another. So let's go ahead and quiet our hearts and get ready to participate in this beautiful gift that is offered so generously and freely to all who would accept it. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." So, let's prepare our hearts to participate in this gift of life that Jesus says comes in the form of his flesh and of his blood. And so, Lord Jesus, first and foremost, we say thank you. Thank you that you show us what it looks like to be flesh and spirit. Thank you that you invite us into that process to be both flesh and spirit. Thank you that you teach us how to live from that perspective. I thank you that your story is one that has been spoken for eternity, and it's one that is constantly inviting all of us to participate. And so before we take this cup and this bread and participate in loving union with you, we confess to you those areas of ourself that have gotten in the way of you, that have gotten in the way of seeing ourselves and our identities as nothing more than your beloved, And so, Father, forgive me for the selfish desires in my heart that cause me to choose me and my comforts over anybody else. Father, forgive us if we've participated in spending our life force that you've given us every single breath. Forgive us if we've participated in tribal thinking, in us and them thinking. I thank you that your cross demolishes that way of thinking. And so we invite your cross, the story of the cross, to grow in us, to replace our egos, and that we might look like you to everyone we come in contact with. We accept this life that you've given us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's do this together. Love you guys dearly. Wish I was there with you. Be blessed.